gave it to me. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and return to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank you, kids. Appreciate that. Yeah, you're well appreciated. And they're going to have some ice cream there with all the kids in the room and I guess the teens that want to go back there after the service tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 1. Appreciate you being here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I didn't realize it either. Didn't think about it. Excuse me. Get all wired for sound here. Verse number 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all of Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation. Let me say that again, verse 6. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So there's times when we're being afflicted, but that's for you. There's times we're being comforted, and that's for you. You follow? Look at it again, verse 6. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings. In other words, it comes into effect. It accomplishes what it needs to accomplish as you endure the same sufferings. So Paul's saying, I suffer, but the fact is, when you see me suffer and still go through it, it actually helps you because you're going to have to go through the suffering too. In fact, the Bible says in James here, he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And so he says it's going to make patience. It's going to be patience. And we are suffering also. And so anyway, it goes on to verse 7. It says, our hope of you is steadfast. Why? Knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation, the comfort. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. He says, I'm not going to hide the fact that we had a lot of trouble when we were out there. He said, in fact, I'm going to let you know that, because he says, we had the sentence of death on ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. In other words, we found out that we have come to the end of ourselves to teach us that we needed to trust in God, which can raise the dead. If he can raise the dead, he can do anything else. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He deliver us from hell, well, he can deliver us from anything else. Verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. He says, I didn't hide the fact that we were going through trouble. In fact, almost to the point of death. But he said, then you start praying. And now you know that we came out the other side. And says, now you can be thankful as you've seen God work in our life. The fact is, there's times when, okay, I've said this, I said it before, sometimes somebody goes through a problem and you think to yourself, how in the world can they do that? There are some people who think, well, they're just putting on a show. You know, they don't, you know, I've had people say, well, how can you go to church and have all these terrible things going on in your life and still be happy? Well, God didn't fall off the throne. The God of all comfort is speaking to my heart. The God of all my comfort says, I'm going to see you through one way or another, even if it's the fact that I go to heaven on this deal. It's still okay. But the fact is, it builds the faith of those around as we see God give the comfort. And then it says, they can say, well, listen, God can give them the comfort, then God can give me the comfort. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to talk about the God of all comfort this evening. The God of all comfort. I'm not sure why I was supposed to do this tonight, but I feel like I'm supposed to. So here we go. God of all comfort. Let's pray. Father, give me thank you for the sweet relief, the sweet consolation that you can give as we trust in you. And Lord, I pray that you work in our hearts here this evening. Thank you that you are the God of all comfort. Thank you, you see us through every affliction. Psalm 119 says, it was good that I've been afflicted because now I keep your statutes. In your faithfulness, you have afflicted us. And Lord, there's times when things come. And you know, Lord, just seems like they kind of come in cycles. As soon as we feel like we finally got ourselves above water and we're able to breathe clearly for a little bit, something else happens. If it's not in our life, it's somebody near and dear to us. And yet, Lord, in this passage, you tell us there's a reason for that. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Help us to hear your word here this evening. And give us the consolation and comfort that you promised to give. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in uncertain times. Most of us are fearful of the unknown. Sometimes it's not so much what we know as what we don't know what's going to happen. That's scary sometimes. It is difficult to feel comfortable in anxious times. In times like these, comfort can seem very far away. However, the comfort we need is only as far away as God is. And that's your choice. Have you ever been out on the road when the car breaks down or you have a flat and all of a sudden you feel lost and isolated and forsaken? Maybe there's some other situation. All of a sudden you find yourself kind of vulnerable. I remember years ago, Jan and I went to this museum up in Boyertown, Pennsylvania. They now have my dad's line shaft machine shop all set up there. And we got to see it on the way up on our trip and take some pictures. Got a video on my phone on here of them doing that. And in that museum, they have this little video of how they started the turnpike back in the 30s or 40s, whatever it was. It was pretty far back, and how they put the Turnpike Commission up, and they built the turnpike and all this stuff. And then it talked about when they put up all the call boxes. The fact is, there was a day, you know, when they didn't have those call boxes. The problem was, you know, even once there was a call box, you had to walk at least a half a mile to get to one of them because they weren't any more than a mile apart, any less than a mile apart. There's times back before cell phones, you may have even thought, if I was only closer home, you know, that we have a flat or whatever, you wouldn't be so bad. The tools I need would be within reach. The person that I know that has the knowledge to fix this for me would be right there. But here I am, all alone, with no help. Sometimes we feel that way in life, and the fact is, God's right there. Let me give you number one tonight. Very simple, right out of verse number 3. God is the God, watch me, of all
comfort. God didn't slip the word all in there by mistake. He wasn't speaking in superlatives just to make it sound important. Mr. Trump kind of did that sometimes, you know. Everything and great and worse and disaster. How many times did he say disaster? I don't know. But anyway, God's not sliding words in, he's not using. He's the God of all comfort. The fact is, somebody can pat you on the back and somebody can kind of say some nice words, but if you want to really, really feel comfort, it's when you know God's in control. God's got your back. He's the God of all comfort, verse 3 says. Comfort, consolation, solace. It comes from a word that means this, to call near. God is trying to get you, watch me, God is trying to get you to be closer to Him. When comfort is needed, the reason He allows you to come to the place that you need comfort is to get you to come near to Him. You know, it's a shame, but most of us do not seek out God until we need some comfort. But it's the way we are. God knows it. This passage says, all true comfort comes from God. Look back at verse 2. It says, grace be to you, peace from our God, from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, grace, the miracle-working God, and he wants that peace that passes understanding, that peace from God. By the way, you've heard me say it, you don't need peace as everything is already peaceful. Peace shows up when we need something to bring everything to a calm, to a consolation. He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Why would He talk to me? Why would He care for me? Why would He bother with me? As we talked about this morning, because of His mercy. And the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The more the sufferings, the more the opportunity to be called near to the Lord. True comfort does not come from playing psychological mind games. There's an awful lot of things, and you see it more and more and more. And again, I'm not trying to, again, get political, but I saw this thing where they were having some kind of election stress. I don't know what they called this thing. They diagnosed something from the stress that the election was causing. Now, come on. And then they'll call it a disease or call it a problem. And again, then they'll try to medicate it. You know what the problem is? They forgot where the comfort comes from. They forgot who's sitting on the real throne. They forgot who's really in charge. Oh, listen. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, this is going to sound crazy. When things go really wild, it kind of gets exciting because I want to see what God's going to do. I know it sounds weird. I don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't want them to stop the ministry. But in fact, to be honest with you, I kind of get a kick out of finding out what God's going to do. There's been some times in my life when I've come to the end of my rope. There are no answers. There's not a thing I can do to fix it. And see, people at that point, they go bananas. I can't fix it. Well, you weren't supposed to fix it in the first place. You're supposed to be giving to the Lord and just letting Him tell you what to do. Most times it simply means steadfast in the faith. Just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Get up and go to church. Come back home. Read your Bible. Go to work. Do your job. Work hard. Love your wife. Love the kids. Just do what you're supposed to do. Do right. Don't lie. Don't steal. That's really what we're supposed to do. And we can all accept because I can't do anything. Well, you know what? I kind of get excited. So honest, I do. That sounds crazy. I get excited sometimes when there's nothing I can do about because God's going to have to. And I'd like to kind of watch and see what He does. True comfort is not playing psychological mind games. True comfort is not the absence of problems. Let me say it again. True comfort is not the absence of problems. We can try to forget our problems, but the problems are still there. We can try to drink away our problems, but the problems are still there. We can try to medicate away our problems, but the problems are still there. We can try to simply distract ourselves from the problems with activities and things and programs, relationships, whether good or bad, but the problems are still there. Why do we have this? Why has he allowed this in? Because he wants to draw us near. The more the sufferings, the more opportunity he has to draw us to himself. Listen, God can give comfort. Isaiah 61:1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." It's Christ. Of course, it's foretelling Christ. "Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound." Comfort comes from the Lord. So there are captives. There are people who are bound. There are those things. Why? Because then he wants to draw you to himself. God can actually give relief from the problem if we will allow him to and trust him to and do what he calls us to do. Because he doesn't want to keep us there any longer than necessary. He wants to keep us there as long as it takes to do the job that he asked it to do, to draw us near. Comfort requires us to humbly come back to God. In that passage in Isaiah says, "To proclaim acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, God's in charge, when we are going to face him, and the day of vengeance of our God, but watch, to comfort all that mourn. Boy, wait a minute. Matthew 5:4. Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." You know what he's saying? You're blessed. Watch this. By his mercy, he brings us to the point of mourning. Because then we will come to him. And when we come to him, then we're near him. Comfort comes when we know that God can fix many of the old problems and give us hope for the future. Verse 3 there in Isaiah says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, and they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." He says, I can fix the problems, and I can even fix problems that's been going on for generations. If I can bring you to the point of mourning, then you'll come to me and let me comfort you. Hopefully, now wait a minute, we will come to a place in life that we realize that the most comfortable place to be is right next to the Lord. And then we just do all that we can to stay right there. You realize that he wouldn't have to put us into a place of affliction, into a place of suffering, into a place of mourning, if we would just go ahead and get in place right next to him right off the bat. Seek him, seek his face with all our heart, because we seek him, we shall find him. If the fact that he afflicts us to bring comfort, to bring us near, then wouldn't we be awful nice if we could bypass that affliction part? But the fact is, sometimes we don't understand some places where we're not near him. So he has to take us through that point that we mourn so that we'll come near. God is a God of all comfort. Number two, God is a God of all comfort. That means comfort is only as far away from us as God is from us. Comfort is only as far away from us as God is far away from us. Now, we know that God's everywhere. God says in Jeremiah 33:1, he says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison." God came to Jeremiah when he was in prison, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Jeremiah sitting in prison, not very comfortable. And God says, "All right, Jeremiah, the sad place." Hey, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, mourning prophet, not only over his sin, but the sin of all the nation. God says, "Call to me." Maybe he needed to get Jeremiah to the point that he was mourning over these things. I don't know. But he's the God of all comfort. He's only as far away from us as we are from him. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Let your moderation, your self-control, you're not having a panic attack. You're not needing a psychologist or a psychiatrist. He says, your moderation, your self-control. And then, by the way, the self-control is the fact that we put our control of our life into the hands of God. I'm not saying there aren't some chemical things, and I don't know, but I'll be honest with you. I think most of us, because we're not walking close to him. You know what? If we, honest, really, you think about this. You're really scared. What if God could literally, physically come down here, take your hand and walk with you? I'm good. But God is spirit. And he is with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Philippians 4. "Let your moderation, your self-control be known unto all men." Watch. "The Lord is at hand." Lord's right here. So why can I be comforted in a tough situation? Because I'm being comforted because the Lord's right here. What was the tough situation supposed to accomplish? To get me to draw near to him. He says, "Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious for anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." What's that mean? "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not." You're in suffering? I understand. Let God use it. You got a problem? I understand. Let God use it. You're being afflicted? I understand. Let God use it. You're being persecuted? I understand. Let God use it. "Well, I don't know how to take care of it." Well, then, give it to him. "But what am I supposed to do?" Well, maybe you're not supposed to do anything but right. Do right. Your persecutor, love him. Overcome evil with good. If he thirsts, give him something to drink. If he hungers, give him something to eat. You may heap coals of fire upon him. And you know what that means? Melt his heart down. So it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The point is this: comfort is only as far away as God is from you. Is he right hand? Or have you wandered away somewhere where he's not right there? God is a God of all comfort. He afflicts us to seek comfort, to draw us near to him. Comfort is only as far away as we are from him. He says, I'll give you the comfort, but you've got to come back to me. Number three. Comfort is only as far away from you as God is from you. God is only as far away from you as you choose to walk away from God. God's the God of all comfort. And that comfort is only as far away as God is. And He's at hand, or He should be. And God is only as far away as we choose to walk away from God. Have you wandered as far? Have you wandered down the wrong road? Maybe going down a little ways. You may even feel that you have a little ways to walk to even start to get close to the Lord. Go back to that little phone on that dark night in the middle of the turnpike. There you are. You can't even see the next call box. You want a call. So what do you got to do? You got to bring yourself to a point where you can call for help. Sometimes we need to bring ourselves to a point where we can call to God for help. Maybe that's a confession of sin. Maybe it's a confession of a lifestyle. And I'm not talking about homosexuality. We Christians can get into a lifestyle that God's just not really part of. We're just busy. I think we can get into a lifestyle that He's not part of while we're busy serving in a ministry. We're going through the process, going through the program. The Bible says in James 4:5, says, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" In other words, God didn't say that for just throw it in there, that He lusts to envy, He wants us. "But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." He's only as far away, comfort's only as far away as God is, so we need to get close to God. Well, it's funny. If Brother Paul's God, watch this. I want Him closer to me. He's closer. You see, God doesn't go anywhere near sin. He's not going to change where He's going to go. I need to change where I'm going. I need to change what I'm doing. Listen, there's so many people, and Brother Jimmy and I were talking about this, are you folks? We have folks who come in, and they'll come here, and they love the loving, they love the upbeat, they love the hope, and then they find out that God wants to do something with their sin to bring them close. See, the fact is, they've got problems. Now, God's allowing them to be afflicted. Why is He allowing us to be afflicted? So He can give us comfort. To draw us near. But they're saying, well, yeah, but if I draw near, then I'm going to have to look at your, well, you didn't have it. It says there in James, says, cleanse your hands, you're sinners. You see, they're trying to forget and distract themselves to forget about all their problems with a bottle. But the answer to their problems is not the end, not the bottom of any of those bottles. And it just causes another problem. Usually a multitude of problems. I don't understand what Tom Wolfe is trying to do to make alcohol more accessible all the time. I do not understand what he's doing. And then the next news article, they're talking about how most of the crime is alcohol related. Burying your problems in drugs is not going to fix the problem. Bearing your problems in anything. Listen, sometimes I've seen ladies. Men probably do this too. It's just you can tell the men from the boys by the price of their toys. But I've seen ladies who get all flustered and say, you know what I need to do? I just need to go shopping. And so they go out and distract themselves by buying things. But you know what usually the problem is? In about 6 or 8 months, their credit card bill is so high, they can't even afford to make the minimum payment. Guys go out and do, they'll bury themselves in the football games. So I'm not saying you can't enjoy football, but that's not going to fix the problem. We're trying to distract ourselves from the problem. The problem was we're not close enough to him. And if, so I need to decide. God's not going to move. I need to move toward God. And that passage in James says, he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He says, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. How? Cleanse your hands. What are you doing? And where's your heart? Purify your heart. Unite your heart to seek for God. That's what the affliction's for. That's what the problem's for. The problem is to draw us to himself. And if the fact is, if we do not let him draw us to himself, do you know what he's going to do? Heat up the problem. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's a hard thing right there. Given, this is the program. The afflictions come to bring us closer to him. We might as well submit to the program because the program's not changing. That's the program. God wrote it down. There it is. You can fight it. You can try to weasel around it. You can do whatever you want. You say, well, you can put it off for a while, but it isn't going anywhere. That's the problem. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In other words, just keep doing right. And it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy. Watch. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. I thought I was supposed to be comforted. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. See, we want to just get rid of this problem. God wants to draw us to himself. So God is a God of all comfort. Comfort is only as far away as God is from you. God is only as far away as we choose to walk away from him. Number four. Now listen, and I've kind of already alluded to this. Life is a series of tribulations and comforts. Ready? Life is a series of tribulations and comforts. Let's go back to verse 4 in our 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look, walk with me. Well, I'll start verse 3. It's in the middle of a sentence. Verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Now, he's not here to make your life trouble, make your life hard. He's not here trying to see who he can, you know, pick on the day. He's a God of all mercies. In fact, by his mercy, he's going through the trouble to take us through these processes. The God of all mercy and the God of all comfort. Verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That's why I can stand here and say, listen, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. You've heard my story. When we got to the point in college, we didn't have any money, and it was this and that and the thing. We're doing everything we can. Be honest with you, when I finally got laid off, I'll be honest with you, I almost laughed in this guy's face. I didn't like working on the loading dock. I didn't like working to 2 in the morning. I wanted more time to study. And I had worked, but the recession hit, and I was one of the last ones to get laid off, but I got laid off. And to be honest with you, I always went, yes. And you're going to say, this is terrible. I'll tell you why. God had sent me out there. I knew why I was out there. God had put me out there. He's got to pay the bills. So he was going to find another way to pay the bills besides me going. I know that sounds crazy, but I wasn't going to be going there to work. I went looking for work right away. And by the way, if you don't have a job, your job is to go find a job. You know, and I believe that. And I was doing everything I can, but it wasn't happening. But I felt I had more time to study. I got better grades. And God paid every bill. I could have called my dad and said something to him. He would have sent me a check that quick. You've heard my story. But I didn't. Because I wanted to be able to stand in the pulpit one of these days. I knew it in my heart that God supplies all your needs according to the riches of glory. I've knew that all in my heart, but I really never needed him to. Now, he always, you know what I mean. He was supplying all my needs, but I could see where it was coming from. Dad took care of this. I wanted to come to a point where I didn't know where it was coming from. I couldn't see where it was going to come from. The only way it's going to come out of the sky here someplace. God knows where the money is. He just has to withdraw it and send it my way. And he does it. I'm not saying you're going to be filthy rich. I'm saying God supplies all your need. And he says, and so I can stand here and say, God can comfort you when, listen, you do what you're supposed to do. Keep your nose in the book. Keep your hands clean, your heart pure. Do what you're supposed to do. Keep tithing. Do I don't have any money, but I got to make it $10. Well, give the buck. You just want my money. No, I want you to walk in truth. I want you to walk in faith. I want you to see God work. You don't turn back. So he says, the God of all comfort will comfort you wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, they get more and more and more and more and more, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. He says, the bigger it gets, the worse it gets, the more peace he gives you. If you're doing what you're supposed to do in his book, being steadfast in the faith. Because you realize it's on him, it's not on me. See, what happens is, if we're not trusting him in the first place, the more sufferings we have, the greater discomfort we have, the greater anxiety we have. But when you're walking with him and the Lord's at hand, let your moderation be known. Because even the worse it gets, the more out of my hand, the more I realize it's in his hand. And the more it's in his hand, the better off I am. Verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, he says, I'm afflicted. It's for your consolation and salvation. Listen, I've heard it many times. I've heard them say, hear about a preacher. And the guy came to him and they said, I don't believe this stuff, but I believe that you believe it. And they kept coming because they knew who the guy was preaching believed it. I don't believe it, but I believe you believe it. And I want to hear it. And the fact is, as it goes, they're comforted with the comfort they're with, and then it even brings them to salvation. They trust. Verse 6, whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual, or actually works, effective, in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, is for your consolation and salvation. When you have to go through what you've seen somebody else go through, and they've trusted God and had a comfort, you know what? It gives you encouragement. You know what? Maybe I just need to trust God in this thing. Verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast. He says, we have a constant hope that things are going to work out for you. Why? Knowing that as ye are partakers of sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. He says, you know what? I can stand here and say, the sufferings are going to come. But you stay close to him, the comfort will come with it. The sufferings will come, but the comfort will come with it. If you don't have the sufferings, you don't need the comfort. Verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that were pressed out of measure above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. We didn't have any hope. We're dead. We're toast. But we realize God's there. What? Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. That's why you pray for one another. and then you see the prayer come true, you get as much a blessing as a guy who had his prayer answered. I was part of that. I prayed. It happened, just like it said. We need to go through these times of distress so we can see God give the comfort. Now watch. This cyclical process, this cycle of tribulation and comfort is a sign that God has his hand on you and is working. Look at verse 7. Our hope of you is steadfast. We got great hope for you. Why? Knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, ye shall be also the consolation. He says, I'm seeing God work in you. Listen, you get somebody who really gets fired up to serve the Lord, and it seems like everything goes haywire. You've seen it. Well, why'd he do that? But God says, are you serious? I'm going to do something with him. Well, how's it going to do? So he beats up on us? No, he's drawing you near. Say, come on, boy. Come over here.
Well, I got all these problems over here. I don't have time.
He said, that's why I gave you the problem, to come to me. Come to me and let me deal with it.
Well, I don't have time to go to church. I got all these things going.
You don't have time not to go to church. You don't have time not to pray. You don't have time not to read your Bible. You don't have time not to draw near to God. See, that's what it was for. Because I gave you the affliction so that you need the comfort. And the comfort is so I can draw you near to me. There is hope that God is working when we see the process in motion. See, again, we see a problem, and then we get another problem, and they abound. And we see one problem. Well, I can handle that one. You know what that means? God's got to give you another one. You know what? You can handle that perfectly the way God wants you to handle it. You got a problem, you give it to him. Tell me what to do. That's what I'm going to do. Next problem comes up, it's no bigger pile because I've already given this one to him. I just got another one. Just to give that to him. It doesn't pile up on him. But you see, we get a problem. Well, I can deal with that. But then so he's, oh, you can deal with that. Okay, well, let me give you another one. Well, you know, I think I could do it. You're not getting any closer to me. Get a little closer. All right, they'll give you another one. You know what? I can juggle three balls. Let's put another one in there. Well, I think I could do these two at a time, let's put another one in there. What are you doing to me, God? I'm drawing you near. I'm calling you near. I'm saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Do what I ask you to do. My yoke's easy. You're trying to do it on your own. I have to bring you to a point that you break. And so, you know what, instead of breaking, we'll just go out and get drunk. Forget it's there for a while. And then we kind of come to ourselves and realize everything's worse than it was before. One of the greatest comforts is when we realize that we are in a situation, at least it is for me, that only God can solve. Verse 8 says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were oppressed out of measure, beyond us. I mean, the pressure came up. It was beyond what we could do, beyond what Paul could do, beyond what Paul and Timothy could do, who was with him. He says, we're pressed beyond measure, above strength. I mean, it was beyond what we could do, inasmuch that we despaired even of life. I thought, we're dead. We're dead, we're dead, we're dead. There is no way out of this. We're gone. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. Why did God give us that sense of imminent doom? Why did God put it in our heart to think, we're dead? Why? The sentence of death was in our heart that, verse 9, that we should not trust in ourselves, Well, I'm dead. You can't, no sense in trusting a dead man. I'm still alive, but I feel like I'm dead. Here we go, God. Well, you raised a guy from the dead before, didn't you? I guess you can do it again. That's like that song we sang a while back, you know. The first man said this, second man said that, and I don't know if God can do this. But then the fourth man said, my name is Lazarus, can I testify? My name is Lazarus, it feels great to be alive. He says, that's the greatest feeling. Our life was in the balance, and our trust in God came down to life after death. We have life after death. When we see God deliver, it gives comfort to others as well as building up our own faith. God's the God of all comfort. Comfort is only as far away as God is. God is only as far away as you've walked away. And if you think you're going to get away from the problems so you don't need the comfort, you're fooling yourself. Because there's a process that God is going to take us through. Not only for our sakes, but for others. Now, I'm not a prophet nor a son of a prophet. I'm not a great man of faith. But if we fell apart every time a problem came up, I'm going to say this, maybe I shouldn't say this. I don't think our kids would be sitting in these pews right now. I'm not perfect. You know that I'm not perfect. There's times I've been scared. And that's good sometimes to get scared. Run to the comforter, not away. Run to the source of comfort. Don't run away from him. If we never experienced the tribulations, we will never experience the triumphs. Our faith would stay flat. If we never have the calamities, we will never know the comfort. One of the greatest ways that God can use us is by taking us through the trials so that others can be comforted with the comfort wherewith we are comforted. He's drawing you near. Are you running to him? Are you indifferent to him? Or are you actually running away from him? If the afflictions and the sufferings are there, he's trying to draw you near. Don't forget it. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Thank you for being the God of all comfort. Lord, I don't know why you wanted me to preach this tonight. It just felt like it's what you wanted. Lord, help us to rise up in arms of faith and let you draw us near. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.